Hi there, welcome along. It's the Racing Post weekend postcast. We're looking ahead to a gloriously sunny weekend with some great racing. It's Bruce Millington. And joining me this week to look ahead to Kempton, the card that traditionally throws up the last set of Cheltenham clues, is Keith Milrose, the Racing Post betting editor. We're delighted to welcome back the urbane, mellifluous tones of international racing expert Brendan Duke. And we've also got from Paddy Power, Graham Temple, as well as those four ITV races at Kempton on Saturday. We've got the Ida up at Newcastle, the traditional slog over 4 miles and nearly 2 furlongs. And flat fans, good news, we've got the Winter Derby and the Hever Stakes, a good 5 furlong sprint. Fontmore have their big day on Sunday as well. Really good field declared for the National Spirit Hurdle. The lads will be telling us who they fancy for that. So let's get going then, and we'll get stuck into 4 races at Kempton on Saturday on ITV4. I've got to say, this card is normally, I wouldn't necessarily brimming with Cheltenham hopefuls that I want to see whether they're going to advance their claims or otherwise, but this isn't the greatest Kempton card of its kind. But anyway, I'm sure there will be some really good races and hopefully some really good betting opportunities. The 150s, the Close Brothers, Pendle, Novices Chase. We've got good ground. The ground is drying out. It's certainly not any wetter. It is beautiful down here in the south. And we've just got the 4 runners, Graham, haven't we? How did Paddy Power bet?
Tamarack to Mathan is an 11-10 market topper. Gaul Law, 13-8. It's then 9-2 Cool Cody. And Son of Camas for Nicky Henderson is the rag of the 4 at 17-2.
Keith, am I being overtly negative or unduly negative about this Kempton card? Like I say, normally I look at this and I think, well, there's 2 or 3 there that I'm going to keep my beady eye on to see what happens for Cheltenham, but I'm struggling to identify those horses.
Yeah, I think that's maybe a bit more long-term in this field, or this card. I think you're right in that. You know, the only thing in the Pendle's likely to go to Cheltenham or the big novices anyway, and, you know, in the novice hurdles later, Tritonic will come on to, but the Dovecot this year, the favourite for that's a long-term prospect, isn't he? So I know what you mean, but I wouldn't go as far as to fully agree, I think, because there's a lot of long-term promise there.
Okay, excellent. So who wins the 150 then, Keith?
I was looking forward to getting a better price about Tamarack to Mathan than I'm being offered here. Now, on ability, 11-10 is perfectly fair. I think his Shishkin beating him 13 lengths might go down in history as sort of one of the first things he did where he thought this is something a bit special, because I think Tamarack to Mathan is easily a 150 horse. It's his first go over 2.5 over fences. He's a bit buzzy, so I maybe wouldn't be keen to put my laces through him. I do nominate him as the likeliest winner, and I would imagine Cool Cody, now the ground's getting a bit better, might be the main danger rather than GA Law. But it's a race that I'm not going to absolutely get fired into. I'll wait and see prices near the time before I back either Tamarack to Mathan, or if he gets big enough, Cool Cody.
Thank you very much. Brendan Duke, how are you, sir?
Yeah, pretty good, Bruce, all things considered. The sun is shining, spring has sprung, so I'm trying to stay positive.
You're waiting for the lockdown traps to open and you can hurtle back to real life. It has been tough, hasn't it? But hopefully the numbers are going in the right direction. We will get there. Does anything excite you about the 150 at Kempton, Brendan?
Well, I mean, I struggle to get away from the fav. You know, I don't really bet at short prices, and I don't think I'll be having a bet, but I mean, Gala and Cool Cody like to get on with things. Tamarack is a strong traveller and a particularly good jumper, so Cobden should be relishing this stock and pounce trip, and I'd say he'd be good enough here.
Lovely stuff, Graham.
I'm just wondering what way the commentator is going to pronounce this Gaw or GA Law in this 150 at Kempton. I'm actually quite warm on Gaw Law, Jamie Snowden's charge. I was studying the race earlier on today, and I noted that this horse is 25-1 to win the Arkell. He's also entered into the Brown Advisory in our betting for that, and also the Marsh Novice Chase. But he's been clipped for the Arkell, and I was talking to one of our leading traders as well, Ryan McHugh. He might have been on the podcast in the past. He is very warm on Gaw Law as well. He told me it was beaten in the Henry VIII at Sandown, but prior to that was so impressive in winning the Grade 2 race at Warwick that it's his big pick for the day as well. Ryan's usually a very good judge. He's certainly given me a few winners in the past, so I will be backing Gaw or GA Law.
2.25 at Kempton, the Close Brothers Adonis Juvenile Hurdle over 2 miles, and the favourite here is Tritonic, who is 4th favourite for the Triumph, so a lot of eyes on him. Before the lads tell us whether he'll win or not, let's get Paddy Power's latest betting.
Tritonic tops the market, Bruce, at 10 to 11. Honor Danjonk is 15 to 4, shot 5 to 1 Casa Lupi, 17 to 2 Paso Doble, and it's 12 to 1 Bar.
Nice enough debut, Brendan, by Tritonic. Will he follow up here and can he win the Triumph?
Yeah, nice enough is right. I mean, he jumped pretty well in the main. I suspect deep ground in Ascot on a stiffer track would play more to his strengths than good ground in Kempton. I think he's a horse who need a trip in the future. And it's just a nagging concern. You might get a dawdle here. Now, Casa Lupi made the run on the last day. Margaret's Legacy has got on with things in France. So I might be over-egging that. But he's 100 horse on the flat. He jumps pretty well. I do have some concerns about the track and the ground. And when you're dealing with slight odds on, you don't really like having those concerns. But he'd want to be beaten these if he's going to be a credible Triumph Hurdle contender.
I suspect the Duke Wallet will be staying shut for this race, but the eyes wide open, yes?
Yes, I'd say that's spot on.
Jolly good. Graham, will you be back in the favourite here?
No, I'm going to go for Honor de Jonc here. Was a winner all ends up on its most recent start, which was over course and distance. It was about a length clear when it came down at the last. And Jane Williams sends it back to the same venue, looking for compensation. It's a nice sort of price. We've currently got it about, what, nearly 4 to 1. And I take it on against the favourite there, Honor de Jonc.
And Keith.
Yeah, nine runners, lopsided market. It's got a good each way look this race. And I'm going to take a little chance on the French horse here, Margaret's Legacy. I had a good look into this horse's form. One run on the flat, but it's two runs over hurdles are the important ones. And you might have to forgive me here while I just quickly delve into it. The first day, he absolutely razzed up, beat a horse called Rossini. He was about a 70 horse on the flat. Third stand was third. He's about an 80 horse on the flat. Those two were first and second the other way round next time. And third stand since been second in a listed race. Now, that horse that beat him that day was called Le Petit Nice, who Margaret's Legacy smashed up on Christmas Day at Cannes-sur-Mer as well. So the form, as far as that Cannes-sur-Mer winter form goes, is really good. He's probably the best horse from that group. He's also very quick. Watching the replays of those races, Le Petit Nice is going to be a stayer, but Margaret's Legacy's got loads and loads of speed. So whereas this horse might be the type they might have brought to Cheltenham for the Triumph, which wouldn't maybe have suited him, I think they're bringing this horse to very much the right race in the Adonis. His form, the French handicapper has his form about 140, I think. That's a little bit high. It's at least middle of 30s, though, and that could easily be good enough for second or third. So each way on Margaret's Legacy, I think, is the way to go.
Christmas Day racing. We can't even get him to race on the 23rd of December, let alone the 25th. I don't think that will happen, but I, for one, would welcome it. 3 o'clock at Kempton, the Skybet, Dovecote Novices Hurdle. Over 2 miles, and Paul Nichols has the favourite here, Graham.
Yeah, Athol Street tops the market at 15 to 8. Calico 9 to 4, 7 to 2, Cape Gentleman. It's then Lunar Sovereign at 15 to 2, and 11 to 1, Barbrus.
And who do you fancy, Graham?
Athol Street, I thought, was very impressive in its last couple of starts. We've got it in at 25 to 1 for the Supreme Novice Hurdle. I'll certainly be keeping a very close eye on it. But at the same time, you'd have to give this Calico a bit of a squeak. It had very decent form on the flats in Germany and did nothing wrong in a spin over hurdles 37 days ago for Dan Skelton. But I think I will be having a bet in this race, and I'll be going for Paul Nichols' market topper.
Athol Street. Keith, who do you fancy?
I was struggling whether Athol Street was a bet or just a one that you leave alone. This morning on another thing we do, I spoke to Alan King, and his horse, Heart of a Lion, was second to Athol Street at Taunton last time. It's one of those races, if you go and look back at it, you're looking for reasons why it's not as good as it seemed on first glance. And King said he quite likes that Heart of a Lion that was second. The second, third and fourth have all placed in jumpers, bumpers in recent weeks. So the impression that Athol Street's just a very good horse is very hard to escape. And yes, he is more of a long-term prospect, but he has been quite a while in getting here. He is six and on just his third start over hurdles. So they're going to have to maybe get a little bit of a move on with him. He looks very good. I think I'll back him.
Okay. Will you back him, Brendan Duke?
Yeah, I think I will. I mean, it's going to be an interesting market. Cape Gentleman looks very short to me at 7-2 on this trip and on this ground. And how Calico's going to go on the betting, I don't know, because he was pretty smart in Germany. I'd say he cost plenty of money, but he was very weak in the betting on debut in Ludlow. Now, did nothing wrong, jumped well, travelled great, and was very, very impressive. But Athol Street is by one of my favourite stallions, ridden by one of my favourite jockeys. Well, my favourite jockey. He cost a fortune as a star horse, so I imagine he's an impressive physical specimen. I just can't get away from him, and I think I will back him, yes.
Jeremy is the stallion in question, yeah? Did Jeremy's progeny have a going preference?
Yes, generally, when the going gets tough, they get tougher. They're really resolute horses. So ideally, but I mean, this horse has only run over hurdles on better ground, so he might be the exception to the rule. But I mean, they're just really good horses. But particularly when the ground gets deep, there's just no quitting them. They're lovely horses. Yeah.
Have you been to Ludlow before, Brennan?
No, never been to Ludlow.
Have you got a British track? And you think if I ever get the time and the chance, that's the one I'm definitely going to go to. Because if you did, Ludlow would have to be on that list. It's beautiful. It's a lovely town. It's a gorgeous little course. Really nice. Which one is though? Which of the British courses that you've not done would you most like to?
I think maybe Bath, because it's supposed to be a beautiful part of the world. So I could go and spend a day in Bath and go to the races in the evening or something. That might be one for me.
That's a good chat. Bath's an incredibly high. You come out of Bath, which is one of the great cities, and you go up this road and it just feels like it never, ever ends. You're so high up at the top there. And they've put a new stand in there. So Bath would be a good shout. Very nice. Okay, anyway, we digress. Let's get on to the 335. The race that used to be called the Racing Post Chase. Then it was called whatever the Racing Post Chase is called these days. Now it is very much the Close Brothers Handicap Chase. It's a grade three over 3 miles. Always an interesting competitive race and some really nice horses in there. So I'm looking forward to hearing what the lads have got to say. And before they do that, what's the latest betting from Paddy Power, please, Graham?
Yeah, we're going five places on this race. Captain Nord tops our market at 9-2. Out Dancer 6-1. It's 7-1 Clondalk Castle. 9-1 Talk is Cheap and Double Shuffle. 10-1 Black Corton and 12-1 Bar.
Keith Milrose, this is your sort of race, isn't it?
It is, and I was a bit mean about it earlier in the week. I didn't see much of an angle in it, but I got to looking at it last night and I couldn't come down on one, to be honest. I am going to back two in the race. I'll have a just in case bet on Delir d'Estraval, because if he's fit, he's extremely interesting. But, you know, you can't really take that as red after nearly a year off. My main bet in the race is going to be Clondalk Castle. I went back and watched the Peterborough, and I'd advise anybody listening, if they can, to do the same. He shapes so well in that race. Nothing else that features prominently was prominent at all early on. He made mistakes down the hill. He got really badly hampered by Fanyan d'Estraval's fall, and he still came in and finished only 7 lengths behind Mr. Fisher. That is probably about the best performance by anything in this field this year, I would say. He's off 154. He's won off only £3 lower than that. I think you'll get the 3 miles. You have to take it on trust. But yeah, in a very competitive race, you're getting 9-1 now with best prices. I think that's a really good bet.
Clondalk Castle is Keith's fancy. Who's your fancy, Brendan?
Well, I see Paddy are giving us the extra place, but I think I'll go win only on Slade House, because he definitely has the ability to win this off a mark of 148. I mean, the 2019 Paddy Power, you'll remember, he was off 147, made a series of mistakes and still looked the most likely winner when coming down at the second last. Then he went on and won the Cotto Star over this course and distance at Christmas 2019. Now, not a lot has gotten right since, I'll grant you that, but there were signs of life last time out in Wincanton. Would have got relatively close to Capelin, but for a mistake at the last. Capelin's a funny horse, but on a going day, he is a talent. Now, that wasn't the first mistake that Slade House had made, and his jumping is going to have to improve here. But I'm just hoping, return to the scene of his greatest triumph, maybe that might inspire him. He's only a 9-year-old. He shouldn't really be a light of former days. I'll take a chance to win only.
Maddie Player will love you for that. She's a big Slate House fan.
The day it comes round, it'll win, won't it? That's the thing with that horse.
Yeah, he's got talent, hasn't he? He really does have talent. Yeah, he does. And he's one of those ones you don't want to let go, because you just fear that every time the first time you do, he'll win. So I totally get that. Grand Temple, who do you think's going to win this? It's tricky, isn't it?
It is a bit. I was listening to Brendan there. Slate House, yeah, might well win it, but Colin Tizard's, he's still quiet, only one winner from his last 40, so I'm not sure if I'd be going all in on him, but I do certainly respect Brendan's view. Listen, I'm going mad in this altogether. I've got a huge outsider, and I would not be surprised to see it win in the race. Eric LaRouge, its last win was here at Kempton. It's back to its last winning mark today. It's a horse that runs up with the pace, which you like in these big fields. You know, you don't want to be getting brought down with horses falling in front of you or get scrimmaged out of it. It's having its second run following a wind up. It's having its first run in blinkers. And it's a huge price. Listen, I'm not greedy, Bruce. A place will do. We've currently got it at 22-1. Eric LeRouge.
Okay, that's Kempton. Let's do Newcastle and Lingfield next.
Paddy Power is streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Brendan Duke, Keith Melrose and Paddy Power's Graham Temple. We've done four races at Kempton on Saturday. Let's do the 3:15 at Newcastle, which is also on ITV4. It's the Vertem Ida Chase over 4 miles, 1 furlong and 56 yards. The ground is soft and we've got 12 runners. It's wide open. It's very, very difficult. What's the latest betting here, Graham?
Sam's Adventure is the favourite at 4-1, 5-1 Cross Park, 6-1 The Dutchman, Big Rivers 7-1 shot alongside Springfield Fox and Salty Boy. It's 8-1 Cyclop and 10-1 Bar, and we're going four places on this as well.
Excellent, thank you very much. Before I get the boys' views, the most important thing I need to do today is to say hello and send very best wishes from everyone on the Postcast team to Dan Walsh, who is a producer and sometimes presenter of these shows. Dan's having a tough time in hospital with COVID right now, and I know he's really looking forward to seeing Crossley Tender run in the Ida. Dan, I hope Crossley Tender gives you a great run. Most importantly, though, my friend, I hope you're on the mend soon, and we can't wait to see you back on the shows. OK, Keith Melrose, who wins the Ida?
Watch the Tommy Whittleback that Sam's Adventure won. I know which strength he's favourite for this race, really. And they finished very fast in that race. It was about 107%, I think, from three out of the overall race speed. The horse that ran the Eider trial in that race for me, and I wrote it at the time, was Salty Boy. He was too slow to get involved. He started too far back and couldn't deal with the fast finish of Sam's Adventure. Since then, he's run in the Sussex National at Plumpton, and he probably got dizzy. Plumpton's not a track for one-paced horses like him. Newcastle is. They're into the wind up the straight. It's a slow climb all the way up. I think this horse has been laid out for the Eider, really. He doesn't jump the best, so you'll have to cross your fingers for a clear round. But I think this is the race he's had on mind since David Bridgewater got him from Ireland. And I think he's an each-way bet.
OK. Brendan, when you dream of horse racing, you dream of flashy milers scooting over the turf at Ascot or Newmarket, and not really four-mile chasers at Newcastle. But have you been able to dip into this and conjure up the winner?
Yes, well, at least it's not heavy ground. So there's 12 runners. We'll probably get 6+ finishers. Yeah, so I'm a bit conflicted on this race, Bruce, because it is a handicap. It says it in the terms and conditions. I can't argue with it. So I should be coming back to you with a firm, well-handicapped selection. Not an 11-year-old who has gone up £8 for not winning a race on his last four runs. Now, so I can massively see the problem with that, but I put it to you, Bruce Millington, that the Eider, to a degree, is a race apart. I mean, you can nearly throw ratings out the window with something like this. So this Cross Park, he's 11 granted, but he's in the form of his life. He made a couple of mistakes late on in the Veterans Chase and Sandown. May have cost him. I personally think that the rejuvenated See You at Midnight wasn't for passing on that day. See You at Midnight's jumping was exceptional. But it was another superb effort from Cross Park. So, I mean, we're getting four places here, 12 runners. He's 5-1. How in the name of God is the best horse in the race, former winner of the race, he's the best horse in this race, proven in conditions, in the form of his life. How in the name of God can he be out of the four? And he has a real decent chance of winning 5-1 each way and a knocking bet.
Okay. It's very hard to argue with either of what you two have said, but obviously I'm going to, because my beloved Big River runs in this and I just think this is the race for him. So with four places, I will back Big River.
One day, Bruce.
Well, this could be the day, couldn't it, Keith? I mean, if he's ever going to do it, as Keith says, this is a plodder's paradise. I mean, I just hope he doesn't get too tailed off like he did at Chepstow. But I promise you, he covered that home straight at Chepstow in impressive fashion. So fingers crossed for him. Graham Temple, let's get your fancy.
Yeah, I was thinking that this race is going to really suit the current market topper. Sam's Adventure looks like a horse that just stays all day, unshipped behind Royal Pagale on his most recent start, where he was fancied in that particular race. Just to give you an idea, I know Royal Pagale was really impressive in that. But at the same time, what Keith said there about Salty Boy, I think really pricked my ears as well. This Salty Boy was a much, much bigger price when we priced this up. When I was looking at the race, it was sort of 8-1 a little bit earlier on today. It's already been clipped in again to 7, so obviously a big word for Salty Boy. I think one thing we could be sure of is that Salty Boy is going to be going off shorter than 7-1 come post time.
Okay, excellent. Right then, flat fans, it's your turn. Two races at Lingfield on the telly, starting with the 205. It's the Betway Heaver Sprint over 5 furlongs, just for 7 runners, unfortunately. So not really a very friendly each-way race, but we might not need each-way because we've got a strong favourite. Let's see if the lads fancy Mossgill after Graham's taken us through Paddy Power's prices.
Yeah, Mossgill is the favourite, 11-10. Rocket Action, 4-1. 6-1, Blue de Vega. Lord Ridderford, 7-1. 8-1, Ornate. And it's 12 bar.
Okay, I know that like Jeffrey Boycott, Keith Melrose is standing at the crease letting these two Lingfield deliveries go through to the wicket keeper, so we won't trouble him for these, but he has got something for us at Fontwell on Sunday. In the meantime, though, Brendan, flat fare, this is more your cup of tea, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty good race, but unfortunately, no real imagination. I think the Fav Mossgill will win. I mean, the only nagging concern you'd have is that he finished last season with a bit of a whimper, but he's the best horse in the race. He goes well fresh. There's a chance he's still improving, and he really relished the strong pace to run at here. Just thought he was impossible to get away from.
Okay, Graham, do you agree with Brendan?
It's a leave alone race for me, Bruce. Okay. No bet in this.
Jolly good. The 240 at Lingfield, the Betway Winter Derby, is over 1 mile and 2 furlongs. Only 5 runners. But there's some decent names in there, Graham.
Yeah, there is indeed. And we bet Father of Jazz, 6-4. Felix, 11-4. 3-1, Forest of Dean. Johnny Dram is 11-2. And 16-1, The Rag, Power Estates.
Are you leaving this one alone, Graham, or are you going to have a dab?
I most certainly am not. You know the way you put a bet on a race and your horse hangs on to win on the line and you go, oh, wasn't I thankful that the jockey didn't press the button a little bit earlier on the runner-up? Well, that was the case the last time Felix finished second to Bangkok. I'd backed Bangkok. And I feel that if the jockey had pressed the button a little bit earlier, Felix would have won. I think today is the day for compensation. So Felix, for me, 11-4. Let's hope he's a little bit closer as they turn from home.
And who for you, Brendan?
Yeah, I mean, Father of Jazz is the most interesting horse in the race, but he has a little bit about him. He can run a bit keen and he got upset in the stalls the last day. It's a very strange situation that they haven't gelded him. But more worrying, perhaps, is there's the lack of obvious pace in this race. And I thought perhaps Ryan Moore might seize the initiative on Johnny Drama, who made the running. He made all in Subtle 3 runs back. Now, he doesn't normally make the running, granted, but it's just, it looks like such a good opportunity to seize a tactical advantage here. I mean, he was 5th in a listed race last time out, but in the context of this race, that was a better race than this race. It's the, you know, the black type fallacy. This is a pretty weak Group 3. And I thought the tactical advantage at 11-2, I could give him a life.
Okay, excellent. The black type fallacy. That was a Robert Ludlum novel, I think, wasn't it? A very good one. Okay, plenty more weekend tips coming up in just a mo.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post weekend postcast. We've done the TV action. Let's see what the rest of the fancies are from the lads. We've got on Saturday the rest of the Kempton and Lingfield cards. Obviously, we've got all the rest of Newcastle as well. They are racing at Fairy House and also Chelmsford. Keith, what have you got on Saturday that isn't your nap?
Yeah, I have got one, but it is my nap, so I'll defer.
Okay. Righty-ho. Brendan, anything that isn't your nap that you want to get off your chest?
Yeah, just some interesting fare in Fairy House tomorrow, Bruce. So we kick off the 110 Tee Hoo Poo Possibly fortunate to get off the mark on his Irish debut, but that was up. He was up against a proper horse that day, and it was an impressive run. He has to give £4 to an interesting horse in Tax for Max, who cost 200 bags out of Germany and makes his debut for Willie Mullins. So that might be an interesting one to keep an eye on. Then there's probably some value around in the 145 because Durasso is in the race and he's a complete thief. Now, Petit Bouchoir and Six Shooter are in there too. They have a little bit to prove. Jason de Milton shouldn't win at the weights. He really shouldn't, but he's a very straightforward horse, very honest horse, and that might be decisive here. In the 252, Burroughs Saint, who is arguably Ireland's best, the Tigers having some issues at the moment. So Burroughs Saint might be Ireland's best hope in the national. He runs in the 252, so keep an eye out. Now. And I'd probably have a bet in the... How have I lost this? Oh, yes, the 435. Ghislaine Jessie. So she seems to have a bit of a thing for Fairy. She's only run there twice and she's a win in a second. Good effort latest. That was over fences, granted, but she didn't jump particularly well. The return to hurdles is no harm and she looks on a competitive mark.
Fabulous. Thank you so much, Brendan. It is lovely to have you back on the podcast, my friend. Graham, anything from you? Don't give your nap away.
I won't know. The 145 at Fairy House, Brendan gave it a good run through there. I think it's a really intriguing race. We see Petit Mouchoir dropping in class. Now, Petit Mouchoir has not won a race since Adam was a boy and is way overdue for new connections, obviously. Dropping in class, I can just see that the race style of this horse being changed on Saturday and them deciding to make all again, putting it out in front. And I just think he's going to have too much class for the rest of them. I know it's a 10-year-old and all that, but way overdue a win. I'll be back in Petit Mouchoir in the 145 at Fairy House. And Burroughs Saint, we did our nap thing that we do every week in the Paddy Power Studios, picking up our big picks for the weekend. And Rob Catterson was very, very hot on Burroughs Saint. And I think all the boys are back in that in the 252.
Okay, thank you very much, Graham. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Keith Melrose.
So, in the Ida, I'm advising you once again to look past the 11-year-old chaps in the 425 at Newcastle. You've got Clan Legend in there, who's in smashing form, and Ascot de Briere, who won this race a couple of years ago and also won last time. But there's a much more interesting horse, an 8-year-old called Informateur, in the race. He's only run 4 times over fences for Sue Smith. He's trained by Sue Smith, so he needed the first one. He won the second one. He was second to a fresh Johnny Sofa on the third occasion. Now, that freshness is the key to Johnny Sofa and shorter than 3 miles, which it was that day. And last time at Catterick, he finished fourth, but he was last off the bridle in the race to Derivalis won there. I don't think he stayed. He's back half a mile in trip now. He is, as I say, by far the least exposed in this race. And he is my best bet of the day. 5-1 that you can currently get is a massive price.
Thank you very much, Keith. That's Informateur in the 425 at Newcastle. Brendan, if you were just having the one bet on Saturday, who would it be on?
That would be Cross Park each way in the 315 Newcastle, Bruce.
Thank you very much, Brendan. And Graham, what's your nap?
My nap is Felix in the 240 at Lingfield.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you very much indeed, gents. Let's move on to Sunday, where there is a very, very good race taking place at beautiful Fontwell, another track that should be on everybody's list. Very peculiar figure of eight jumps course, but a gorgeous little venue. Nice pubs to have a beer beforehand. And their feature race is the 310 on Sunday. It's the Loch Lomond Whiskey's National Spirit Hurdle. Over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. We've got 6 runners. I don't think we've got any prizes yet, but I'll run through the field so you can see that we are dealing with a good race here. Call Me Lord, Cornerstone Lad, McFabulous, Brewing Up a Storm, Reserve Tank, and Molly Ollie's Wishes. Keith, this will be good.
Certainly will. It's a sort of race where, to be honest, I'm not going to put anything up until I see prices because there are viable winners all over the shop. You'd have to imagine McFabulous is going to be a relatively warm order. And over this sort of trip, you don't really see him coming up against too many that could beat him with a proper 2.5 mile test. So yeah, he's the one you'd be looking out for. He is the most exciting horse in this field because he still hasn't shown all that he might, whereas the others sort of have. So I might bet if the prices sort of fall right, but other than that, it's going to be a smashing race to watch.
It certainly will. Do you have a strong view on this one, Brendan Duke?
Well, the race just got a whole lot more interesting because I wasn't sure how they'd price it up. But Keith reckons McFabulous would be a warm order. I reckon if I was Tissue in this race, I'd have Brewing Up a Storm, a very sly Fav. Now, I've made plenty of ricks in my time, so that could be off. But getting £6 off McFabulous, he's up to 156 Brewing Up a Storm. Now, I'm conscious that he got that mark in a handicap, so it could be flattering, but he was a very smart novice hurdler. Things went wrong for him over fences, but he was impressed at the last day. Molly Ollie's Wishes and Cornerstone Lad will make this a good test. He's a strong traveller. I thought he might just have too much speed for McFabulous at that trip, and if he's not Fav, I'll definitely be backing him.
Interesting. Oh, I've seen a show. It is from one of your rivals, but it's important because we've been talking about the market. 5-4 McFabulous, 9-4 Brewing Up a Storm, 9 bar. Does that whet your appetite, Brendan?
Very much so, and also probably proves why I haven't got a job as an odds compiler anymore.
Ah, and Keith, that 5-4 McFabulous, would that be just about on the cusp of where you might play, or a little bit skinny for you?
Maybe a touch on the skinny side, more so now that Brendan's had his go. But no, it's I was thinking, you know, anything bigger than 6-4 I'd be interested was what I had in my head. So 5-4 is perfectly fair, but not a betting price.
Okay, and Graham, have you got a view on this?
Yeah, well, we all know that Colin Tizard's been very quiet, and that reserve tank has a touch of class. If that one went to double, like 10-1, 11-1 or something like that, I might be interested in having a small dabble. But apart from that, I'd probably leave the race alone.
Okay, elsewhere on Sunday, we've got a card at Nice. We've got the rest of Fontwell, and we've got Hereford. Is there anything else, Keith, that we should be backing on Sunday?
Yeah, there is. There's one at Hereford that might be the strongest fancy I have at the weekend. I've been waiting for ages for Generous D to get a chance in a race like this. I keep looking at his Kempton run, his career standout from a couple of years ago. Nothing ever tells me he was flattered that day. He's come right down in the weights. He's come down £15 or something in the last year. And he didn't even sheep that badly last time in Warwick and Sky Pirates race. I think it's that Jim Joe Memorial on Classic Chase Day. Went relatively short in the run. The races would be still a little bit warm for him. He's been running in Class 2s and the occasional Class 3. Goes right down to Class 4 company here, not to 120 level. Paddy Brennan takes over as well, which is a nice little bonus too. I'm a big fan of Brennan. Generous Day, I don't know what sort of price he'll be, but barring anything dead short, he's a horse I've been waiting to back for a while.
And that's in the 3:20 at Hereford. Anything else from you, Brendan, for Sunday?
Just a quick mention for Nace. The bets weren't jumping off the card at me, Bruce, but again, it's an interesting card. Silas Emery rocks up in the first. He's becoming a bit of a twilight horse, but he should be winning this. Aaron's Day runs off 129 in the handicap, and a friend of mine on Twitter came up. The horse got £4 for being absolutely robbed of a race by the starter in Nace the last day, and my friend described it as Schrodinger's handicap mark, because it's hard, it's harsh and lenient at the same time. So that tickled me. So it'll be interesting to see how strong he is in the betting. Very strong, I'd imagine. He'll take a lot of beat. Jerry Colomb in the bumper. So he created a really big impression on debut in Fairy House. Streets of Doyen drops to 2 miles. Now, Streets of Doyen is a real hard work, hits flat spots in his races, and you would think over 2 miles he'd be vulnerable. But again, the black type fallacy, this is a dire race for a grade two, and he might actually get away with it. And if I'm going to have a bet, it'll probably be Peckham Springs of 115 in the juvenile handicap hurdle.
That's the 330.
330. Thank you for that, Bruce.
Right.
The top weight Zafanian will probably travel best of all, but what he'll find off the bridle, I'd be concerned about. And Peckham Springs, probably on a fair mark off 115.
Is Peckham Springs, wasn't that a famous Only Fools and Horses episode?
Yes.
It was indeed, wasn't it? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Graham, anything else from you on Sunday?
Just that Jerry Colomba in the bumper. They had to send a search party out for the opposition when this one raced at Fairy House on January the 16th. Looks an exciting prospect. And I've got a little system. We all have systems, Bruce. If Jamie Codd is on anything in a bumper, back it, particularly if it's anything odds against or a shade of odds on. But I think that Jerry Colomba, although I haven't studied into the race, might well be very short.
Okay, before I let you go, we are but 18 days away from the Cheltenham Festival. I want a horse that has occupied your thoughts in a positive way in recent days from each of you. I know I've sprung this on you, but there must be one that has suddenly flashed onto your radar. Brendan?
Can you just come back to me, Bruce, because I have to see if the horse has entered. I haven't checked in
absolutely.
A while.
Keith, you'll have a head full of Cheltenham thoughts.
Not an awful lot's coming in recent days, but the horse that I saw how Spirit of the Games went up. Obviously, he ran very well at Chepstow in that Pertimps qualifier, and the light bulb went off. I think the same happened to Dan Skelton a few weeks ago when they realised his hurdles mark was so low. I think that horse will run over hurdles rather than fences at Cheltenham, and I think he'll run well. He's got lots of form around there.
Okay, Spirit of the Games. Any fresh thoughts from you, Graham, on the festival?
I have a horse in my mind, and he's been stuck in my head for the last two or three weeks, or ever since he won at Ascot. And he actually fell on his most recent start, trained by Nicky Henderson, in the Marsh chase against the likes of Envoy Dallin and Monkfish if he shows up. But I think this horse is a future superstar. I think he was sixth in the Supreme Novice Hurdle last year. Ollart. I think Ollart is going to emerge with a bang and cause a big upset at Cheltenham.
Interesting. Is the horse that was on your mind, Brendan, declared?
No, he'd been nailed at times, but he doesn't seem to have an entry for anything in Cheltenham. I find it hard to believe that he won't be entered for anything in Cheltenham. The entries came out last week for Cheltenham, right? And the weights are out on Tuesday. Is that correct?
I believe so, yeah. If I gave you a £5 Cheltenham token, what would you bet it on?
Just bet Paisley Park and the Stairs hardly win.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah. Excellent. Can a Plutard win the Gold Cup, Brendan?
I don't think so. I'm not saying it's a vintage renewal or anything, but I thought he was a fortunate winner over Christmas, and I just don't think he's good enough to win almost any race, almost any of the Grade One races at Cheltenham. I just think he's a horse that falls between two stools.
Bruce, you should ask Tom Siegel if you want a more reassuring opinion. I know he likes that Plutarch.
He does, doesn't he? Yeah. Okay. Well, Gold Cup winner. Come on, lads. Gold Cup winner. We'll start with Graham. Just the name. I don't care why. Who's going to win the Gold Cup?
It's a chance he won because he was disappointing last time out, but Santini.
Right. Not for me. Keith?
I'm increasingly toying with Champ after that one run last week.
Good, wasn't it? And what about you, Brendan?
Champ.
It's good, that wasn't it? Really good.
I mean, where did that round of jumping come from? I mean, it was just a sensational round of jumping.
Looked like a different horse, didn't he?
Yeah.
Completely different animal.
Big time. I don't know what's going on. So it turns out he mightn't run as horse as Henderson, but he's schooling them away because that horse is jumping. It's only one run now. That's the only concern I have, that we're all there. It looked like a different horse, so... He might regress off it, but Jesus, that was some round of jumping again.
It really was, yeah.
Very useful two-miler.
Yeah, very good indeed. Excellent. Thank you so much, Brendan. It's been lovely to have you back on the show. I hope it won't be too long before we see you again. Keith, thanks as ever for your wisdom. And Graham, thanks very much indeed. Thanks to all of you for listening. It's great to have you on the show every week. Enjoy this weekend. Bet responsibly. Hopefully bet successfully. Maddie's back on Monday. And we're back on Friday to look ahead to another great weekend of racing.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online. And we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.